Hey everybody, it is Monday morning. You know what that means? It is Snipes and Stripes weekend edition with me and my good friend and good looking friend, Tim Peel, right here on nofilter.net. Tim, how are you? What a weekend. How was your weekend? We are one game in. Tell me how your weekend was.
It was good, buddy. It was good. I got to see a little old school on Saturday night. Saw Bret Michaels.
Really?
Yeah, perform at an airport hangar in St. Louis, a little private event. He was awesome. Tell you, guy 61, still rocking it. What I loved about him, he couldn't have been any more gracious to the people there. Yes. He had veterans come up on stage and sing with him. He is all about the veterans and the men and women that have served and continue to serve our country. He was impressive, and he's still rocking it. And I forgot how many good songs he had back in
the day. Oh, it's amazing how many great songs he has. And, you know, he lives in Arizona. Even though I never met him, he lived very close to me. Okay. But a lot of people that I know that are mutual friends say the same thing, say he's just so wonderful and gracious and humble, and good for him for being that way. Well, because
he's got a pretty good gig going. He came in and he sang for a little over an hour, maybe an hour and 10 minutes. And I asked the guy that brought him in, I said, how much did you pay Bret Michaels to come in? He goes, $130,000.
Nice.
$130,000 to come in and sing for an hour. We lost our calling, buddy. We should.
I did the same thing with Eddie Vedder. Right. So obviously. Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam.
Right.
Eddie came to Coeur d'Alene to perform for the event that I was at. And it was he just did an a cappella, just him. Right. And his band, it wasn't Pearl Jam. And I'm like, I said, Eddie, what do they pay you to do something like this, to just show up and sing for an hour and a half or whatever? He's like, $1 million.
No way.
$1 million.
Oh my goodness gracious.
And you know what? He's worth every single penny. It's like listening to Jesus sing when Eddie Vedder is singing up there by himself. It is insane how good
he sang at Shelley's retirement in Chicago too.
Yeah. Right? Right. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You were there for that.
I think Shelley's the only person that Eddie Vedder will sing for free for.
Hilarious.
He's awesome, man. Awesome, man. Well, listen, let's jump right into it because it was an interesting game one of the Stanley Cup final. I predicted the score to be 3-1 Florida, so I wasn't too far off. But I did not expect the game to be that fast, the game to be that entertaining. I thought it would be more defensive oriented, but in the flip side, it was opposite. I thought Edmonton looked really good. They just were snake bit either by maybe nervous hands, or maybe just Bobrovsky just shut the door. Right. What do you think?
Well, before we get into that, we do need to thank our sponsors. I want to thank Bet Online. It's your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. Also, I want to thank...
Yeah, you see how excited I am? I'm trying to talk about the games before we even talk about our sponsors.
I know, but we got to thank our sponsors. And to Protected Neck Guards, and JR, you talk about your whiskey in the wild.
Yeah, Whiskey in the Wild, whiskeyinthewild.com, chocolate and chocolate orange whiskey. Never have a drinking experience like Whiskey in the Wild. But a wild game. Was it not a wild game? I mean, it was fast.
It was. I think the difference maker in this series, you cannot put the blame on Stuart Skinner, okay?
No.
But Bobrovsky, he made 32 saves. I think he is going to be the difference maker in this series. But you know what? Edmonton had a lot of good opportunities to score. And I saw Connor McDavid's comment yesterday. He says, the hockey gods got us from where we got outshot badly in game six against Dallas and came and, you know, won the game.
Yeah, we won a game that we didn't deserve to win, probably. Yeah.
And so, you know what? I think tonight's going to determine the series. If Florida wins and goes up 2-0, that means Edmonton's got to win 4 out of the next 5 games against Florida. And you and I both know that's going to be extremely difficult to do. So tonight, I think, determines a lot on how far this series is going, don't you?
Yeah, without question. And, you know, and again, the hockey gods, they do crazy things. And you kind of knew the way this game was going when they missed 2 early breakaways.
Yep.
And then Hyman, literally right in front of the net with an empty net with the puck on his backhand, literally an empty net, a goal that he would score 9 out of 10 times. And that was, and he roofed it over the net. It's the one time that he probably would not have scored a goal. He's a 50 goal scorer with a puck literally on his stick with an empty net. Right there is it was a reason to say, there's something off about this. Now, the Panthers did an amazing job as a defensive core blocking shots. I think Edmonton had 50 attempted shots going into the third period. 50. And again, their dedication to defense, to playing blocking shots, to, you know, playing hard stick on stick. And we saw how hard they were stick on stick against McDavid. McDavid seemed frustrated. He tried to get through the middle a lot of times, and they got broken up pretty much every single time. They were effective, but again, what you said, Bobrovsky, I think, is going to be the difference in this whole thing. He has to be the difference when you have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl at the helm leading that offense.
You know what? If Florida wins this, last Wednesday I said that I thought Sasha Barkov would get the Conn Smythe. The only other person on Florida that I think would have an opportunity to win that would be Bobrovsky. But
which is who I said.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But Florida scores 2 goals, one's an empty netter, scores 2 goals. And who assisted on both the goals? Sasha Barkov. And I was watching Sportsnet in Canada, and they had Gretzky, the great one, on their panel. And Wayne said and they asked Sasha Barkov about it in the post-game press conference. And they said, you're probably not aware of this, but Wayne Gretzky just said that other than Brian Trotche, you are the best two-way centerman that he has seen play. And Barkov was humbled by that comment by Wayne. But this guy's two-way game, JR, is unbelievable.
It's insane. It is insane. And he doesn't get enough credit for how good he is on both sides of the puck. And it's funny that Gretz said that, because 10 years ago, he said the same exact thing about Anze Kopitar.
Right.
So obviously Gretz has a very keen, he has a keen perception and really puts a lot of emphasis on that two-way centerman, because it becomes very important in your team. Some of the teams, like even look at Sidney Crosby. Pittsburgh won because Sidney Crosby was the best offensive player and the best defensive player.
Yep.
So in order to win a cup, you do need to be built down the middle, but not just built down the middle. You need somebody of that magnitude that can provide you good offense and tremendous defense. So you can play him in any situation. So you play your best players at all times.
Patrice Bergeron, right? He was that type of player.
Yep. But even more talented than Patrice Bergeron, which is pretty impressive. And he's just a quiet guy, you know, just does his business. He's not a showboat. No. He had a little bit of a tough stretch this year, offensively, but consistently you can rely on this guy defensively. And this is what makes Barkov so valuable, because he might not be doing it on the offense, but he is killing penalties and he is shutting down the other team's top guy game in and game out consistently. And that's why he's one of the best centermen in the game that doesn't get the credit for being one of the best centermen in the game.
Right. You know, I was at that concert with Brett Michaels. So I recorded the game, and I sat down yesterday morning with my son and had a couple cups of coffee and watched it. And I'm just watching that Florida team JR, they are relentless on the forecheck. They grind you. They grind you every shift.
Yep.
Every shift they grind you. Like,
yes,
you are worn out after you play the Florida Panthers. You're worn out physically.
Well, look at Connor McDavid. Connor McDavid had a patch in his chin, got his cut. Guys are beat up. Guys are getting hit. The Florida Panthers understand what it takes to win the playoffs. And that is, it's patience. It's good defense. And it is a relentless, it is a relentless pursuit of the puck with physicality. There is not one person on that Edmonton Oilers team that doesn't touch that puck, that does not get hit, that does not get slashed, unattained for,
yeah,
right? It is a very well coached team, and they're doing it even more with discipline. You see, every time that puck got around that net, and anybody got near Bobrovsky, I mean, Matthew Tkachuk went after Connor McDavid 3 or 4 times and put him in headlocks and punched him in the face, cross-checked. Every single player is committed to the same work ethic, to the same physical mentality, and having the same discipline. It's really impressive to watch them as a team through 4 lines and 3 sets of D.
You know, it's amazing too. Like, they pick up this young guy, Evan Rodriguez. I can remember when Evan Rodriguez came up with the Buffalo Sabres, and I was reffing a Sabres game, and I got in the elevator one morning to come down and have breakfast. And here's this young kid, and I introduced myself. He just got called up from Rochester, I assume. And his name was Evan Rodriguez. And I watched him play that night, and I'm like, this kid's a good little player. And he could never really stick with a certain team. He'd be with the team for a couple of years. But these are the sort of pickups that Bill Zito deserves a lot of credit for, because this young guy has played phenomenal.
He's played great.
He's played phenomenal.
That goal, let's talk about that goal, number one. That Rodriguez goal was so impressive by Florida, because it shows what work and tenacity will do. But on the flip side, what laziness and being unprepared will give you. Because Darnell Nurse, who everybody's has been very hard on because he has not played to his level with the contract that he is given, is literally watching the puck, standing up straight with his stick in one hand. And that play, who made the play? Who made the pass to Rodriguez? Do you remember who it was?
Well, I think it was Barkov.
So he got in, he got in there so fast.
Yeah.
Beat the first defenseman and just threw an aimless puck out the middle. Now, this is where Darnell Nurse has got to be on his game. He has to be prepared for that puck to come out front, because he's the net front guy. His stick is in the air. That puck comes right by him because he's not paying attention. And it goes right onto Rodriguez's stick. And there's no way that Skinner, who's in that stupid reverse bullshit position with the puck behind the net, why he's in that position, I have no idea. But that allowed Rodriguez to put that puck far side of the top shelf. Number one, because Darnell Nurse was out to lunch. And two, Skinner down on one knee in a position where the puck in the corner was not even dangerous.
And you know what? It wasn't Barkov. It was Sam Bennett.
Sam Bennett. Again,
out-muscled.
That doesn't surprise me, because Sam Bennett's a beast. He has been a beast, and he was a beast in game one.
100%. And Nurse has been on the ice for 26 of the 50 Edmonton goals in the playoffs. 26, JR, of the 50 goals.
Against
in the playoffs.
Wow.
Isn't that unbelievable?
That's it.
Over half the goals he's been on the ice. That's a recipe for disaster. He's a defensive liability.
Yeah.
And listen, I haven't seen too many people beating up Evander Kane, but our guy, we love Evander. We know he's had multiple injections in his pubic area to deal with this sports hernia. He can't stride like a van.
Yeah, no, he's hurting. You can tell he's hurting.
And that was his guy coming back. Vander just, he can't keep up. And I was reading this morning that Knobloch might actually pull him from the lineup because he can't skate. He can't.
Yeah, no, it becomes a liability when he can't move.
It's got to be frustrating for him. Here's the one time in your entire career that you got to the Stanley Cup final and you're not healthy.
He's also one of the ones that can combat the physicality back.
100%.
And they don't have that. They don't have that any toughness up front. They have a little bit on the back end, but physicality wise, Florida is just way, way outmatches Edmonton. And I just got to go back to Darnell Nurse real quick. He did realize that he screwed up. And he got on the bench and he looked down the bench and said, "That was my bad, my bad." And which, again, good for him to understand that he screwed up. But dude, this is not the time to realize you screwed up on the bench. You got to be prepared when you're on the ice.
My bad doesn't mean anything right now. I'm sorry.
Absolutely right.
Like, I don't give a shit. It doesn't matter. We're fighting for the Stanley Cup, championship here. Like, my bad to me doesn't mean anything. So, it'll be interesting to see what Knobloch does tonight. If he does, I think you'll see some lineup changes. I love this Philip Broberg, this young defenseman. I love how he skates with the puck, JR. I think he's going to be a star in this league. We got Mark Stewart. Where did Mark Stewart play? Did he play in the NHL? Mark Stewart?
I don't remember. I don't remember the name. I
remember Brad Stewart, of course, the defenseman.
Yeah.
But Mark Stewart, he's in charge of their penalty kill. They have now killed off 30 penalties in a row. The Edmonton Oilers penalty kill has killed off 30 penalties in a row.
It's amazing.
Unbelievable.
Well, not only is that unbelievable, it's unbelievable to have that, but unbelievable that they're losing games with that stat. Because a lot of teams will find ways of winning because of their power play. And Florida won that game the other day, not because of their power play, but because of their penalty killing and Bobrovsky and their ability to cash in on the few opportunities that they did have. Because let's not beat around the bush, or let's be real. Edmonton controlled that play, the game, the other night.
I agree. Listen, there was a lot of good in that Edmonton game.
Absolutely.
There was a lot. Like, if I'm...
There are four breakaways.
They were able to sneak in behind the Florida defense. If I'm Knobloch, I'm like, guys, we did a lot of good. Listen, we lost 2-0. It was a 2-0 game. Yep. And we could have easily scored 2 or 3 goals.
Oh, 100%.
That's why I was excited for Saturday night's game, but I am pumped for tonight's game because it wouldn't surprise me at all if Edmonton came out and won 3-1 tonight.
I think it's really important that the mentality in that Florida locker room tonight, and I think it's important that Paul Maurice expresses this point to them. They won 3-0, but there's a lot that they need to clean up defensively. And they got bailed out by their goaltender. Bobrovsky was on point. He was as sharp as I've seen him in a long time, whether it was the breakaways or the side, or the cross ice passes and changing the angle. And he was able to get over to swallow up pucks. His second effort plays were fantastic. Just his focus was right on. He stole the game for Florida. So in that locker room, they better not be overconfident because their goaltender won in the hockey game, in my opinion.
You know, you talked about the physicality, and you take Kane out of the lineup, and they don't have, because really there's nobody up front that's able to throw the body like Kane. I don't know if you saw the replay, but Kane was going off and Matthew Tkachuk happened to be standing there and Kane just punched him in the mouth. You know, like that's the sort of thing Sam Bennett, I think it was in the second period, just conveniently bumped into Connor McDavid when Connor didn't have the puck and knocked him down. It was on an offside play. And Connor McDavid and Sam Bennett are best buddies. They train together in Toronto. But that's what Bennett and that's what guys like Kane bring. And it pisses people off in the playoffs. But those are the type of players you need to have in the playoffs to win, and especially the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, 100%. Well, again, you know, there are no friends in final.
No
friends in final.
I thought the refs let him play.
I thought the refereeing was fantastic. I thought the refereeing was fantastic. Let them play. They did make the right calls.
Yeah.
It was pretty equal in power play opportunities.
Yeah.
All in all, let's just wrap this up because we got a couple minutes left. It was a really good start to a final. And what was also good is there are not many whistles. That first period went by fast. That second period went by super fast. It was an entertaining game. I don't think there was anyone that wasn't impressed with the style of game, the action of the game, the way the game moved along, the way it was reffed. The fans were all into it, and it looked like a Stanley Cup final game, which I really enjoyed. And I'm with you. I'm really excited about game two tonight. It's going to be, and I can't tell you who's going to win.
I can't either.
No, this is,
can't either.
Usually you have a comeback team comes back and wins game two. But Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, to me, I think are going to have the best game of their playoffs tonight.
I agree with you. It wouldn't surprise me if those two and Hyman each had 2 points tonight. You know what I mean? Like they weren't able to take advantage of the opportunities and the mistakes that Florida made on the back end. And tonight might be one of those games where Connor and Leon and Zach just go off and go on fire. What do you think of it's the second time. The only other time they did it was in the pandemic because obviously there was nobody in the building. What do you think about them bringing the Stanley Cup on the ice before the game? I kind of like it.
I really like it. You know why? What a way to juice your guys up right before the puck drops.
Here it is, boys. This is what
is what you're playing for. Here you go. Right. Boom.
Exactly.
You know, it takes me back to stories of the KHL. When the owners used to come into the locker room with a hockey bag full of money,
of cash,
and he dumps all the cash out in the middle of the locker room, and the owner says, "Boys, you win the game, you divvy it up, right?" Boom! No better way to get you all pumped up and excited to play in a championship game than to go out and see what you're really battling for. To see the trophy that is the hardest trophy in all of sports to win. And that if that doesn't give you adrenaline and emotion and excitement, then you need to go do something else.
I
love that they brought that cup onto the ice and put it in front of display for everybody to see.
I agree. I think it was phenomenal. It's great for the players. It's great for the fans. You know, the Stanley Cup, as everyone knows, it's not even a discussion. It's the most beautiful trophy in all of sports. And it's why guys like Charles Barkley, your friend, and people that are non-hockey people say the exact same thing that you said. It's the toughest trophy to win in all of sports.
Yeah, exactly. And trust me, and I know, 21 years, and I was on some good teams, and I had one sniff, and it was just unbelievable of a difficult thing to do.
Well, Corey Perry, this is his fifth time trying to win it. The first time he won it, he was 22 years old, 15 years ago. And I saw a story, he said, I won it at 22, my second year in the league. I'm like, this is going to be easy. I'm going to win this a few times. And, you know, 20 years later, he's still only got one Stanley Cup. So I know it's you played a long time and you played on some tremendous teams like our buddy Keith Tkachuk. And sometimes it's not meant to be, which is unfortunate. So,
yep, it's tough. You know, our boy Joe Pavelski also, you know, he played Joe so many. Thornton. You know, it is a hard, you know, Joe Thornton, Patrick Marleau, Mike Gartner.
One of the best guys ever, right?
You know? Yeah, we can go on down the line of how many great players never won it. And so there's going to be a disappointment this year, whether it's going to be Matthew Tkachuk, whether it's going to be Barkov, whether it's going to be Sam Reinhart, or whether it's going to be Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Evander Kane, because there's a chance that these guys may never get this opportunity again. And that's what's really frustrating about the game. But you get that taste of it like they have right now. It becomes part of your DNA. You need that that drive and that ability to try to win it again. So it brings back a lot of frustrating memories for me. But anyway, thanks again to our sponsors, to Bet Online, Protected Neck Guards, and Whiskey in the Wild. This has been a really fun Monday because the final is going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to chat on Wednesday about game two. This is a toss up, buddy. This is a toss up.
I know. I'm excited. I'm excited to watch it tonight because the point that you made earlier, game one was outstanding. The end to end action, the physicality, the goaltending. I'm excited to see what game two brings tonight. And I'm hoping it, listen, hockey people that don't really care who wins, we want this to go six or seven games. We don't want this to be a five game series, right? So as much as I love Matthew Tkachuk, I'm hoping for Edmonton tonight. I want to see Edmonton win tonight.
Yep.
I want this to go back to Edmonton 1-1 and let's get her going.
Well, listen, as much as I want to be right and pick this whole series right, as I picked in five with Bobrovsky being the MVP, the Conn Smythe, I want Edmonton to win too, because I would love to see this thing go seven. So it's kind of looks like it might be that way, but Edmonton has got to find a way to beat Bobrovsky. And until they do that, this is all Florida. So enjoy the game tonight, buddy.
You too,
this has been Snipes and Stripes Weekend Edition right here on nofilter.net. We will see everybody on Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, unless something comes up and we have to change our day and recording time. But still, it will be on Wednesday, and we will have lots to talk about for Game 2 right here on Snipes and Stripes. Enjoy the game tonight, Timmy. We'll see you later.
Hey, buddy. Bye.